Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
So the Nationals are in a free fall at this point. They've lost eight straight games. Davey Martinez made some pretty incendiary comments after the seventh straight loss on Saturday. This to the Marlins. Here's Davey Martinez post game on Saturday.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I think you guys produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching?
Never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches. Okay, they work hard. The message is clear. All the work is done prior. Sometimes, you know, they got to go out there and they got to play the game. You know, it's always been about the players. Always. You know, I played this game a long time. Never once have I blamed the coach for anything. I mean, we worked our asses off to get better. They gave us information and we used it. These guys understand what the game is, man. These coaches, I never had such a group of coaches that worked as hard as they do. I mean, they're here freaking diligently. They go over everything. They sit players every day. These coaches, you know, they work their asses off. So, and I know every coach's staff is like that. So, sometimes, you know, and the players know. Sometimes, you know, you got to put the onus on the players. They got to go out there and they got to play the game and play the game the right way. You know, we can't hit for them. We can't catch the balls for them. We can't pitch for them. We can't throw strikes for them. They got to do that.
So from Andrew Golden's article on WashingtonPost.com, it said multiple people familiar with the situation who spoke on the condition of anonymity said the players took notice of Martinez's comments. One person said players were, quote, shocked, dismayed, and pissed, end quote. Before Sunday's game, members of the Nats front office staff, including general manager Mike Rizzo, were around and seen chatting with players, which is atypical. So there was definitely some damage control going on in that Nats clubhouse post Davey making those comments.
I had a different source tell me that they did not agree with Golden's source that the players were dismayed and pissed. A good amount of the team seemed to understand what he was saying and were not upset. That's from another source.
Okay.
So maybe there was one player.
Good to have multiple sources, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that some players, maybe the veterans, probably felt like they agreed with Davey. Maybe the younger players, a set of them, maybe agreed with that other source, Golden, that they were pissed off and blaming them. But it kind of depends on who you're talking to.
I think you got to put it in context. First of all, Davey's known for being a great players coach. right? So there's,
and he's defended the players a bunch.
He's defended the players a lot. And I think he's just reached a frustration point on his part, too. He's clearly, obviously, wants to protect his staff first and foremost. And I think it also indicates that there is, he said, I don't want to finger point the coaches. There's not going to be any finger pointing. He literally used the words finger point, but he didn't say that about the players. So I think he's okay. And he flat out says that sometimes the players have to take it on themselves. It's always the players. And he knows that from experience being a longtime guy. I told you, I think from day one, and I don't know this for a fact, but I bet you anything, Mike Rizzo agrees with the sentiment. That doesn't mean that Davies managed perfectly throughout his tenure or throughout this 8-game losing streak. But at the end of the day, the players got to perform. I think it's pretty fundamental.
The players do have to perform, but what if your players just aren't good enough across the board?
They aren't.
Well, they're not.
To get better results than what they're giving you currently.
They're probably not.
Well, I think they're better than their 8-game losing streak. They're not as bad as this.
It could be.
So this is them at their worst.
It could be a confidence thing. I mean, other good teams this year have lost 4, 5, 6 in a row. Now, 8 in a row is starting. When you start to get to close to double digits, that's a big number. But I look at the payroll. They've got one player making $10 million. Not including Strasburg, who is, but he's not playing, obviously. They've got one player making $10 million. Look at every other payroll in Major League Baseball. The only other team that has one player making $10 million is Miami.
Right.
Even the bad teams have multiple players making $10
million. The cash outlay for this team, the players that are playing on it currently in 2025, is right around $65 million.
That is
so
low.
Like, that's just, like, how can you compete
in
a day-out, day-in type of sport like baseball with – but that's low of a payroll.
Nate Lowe and Mike Soroka are both making combined $19 million.
Right.
They ain't playing like it.
Right.
Josh Bell is making $6 million. He's hitting 180.
Right. And those are your high dollar investments.
I mean, $6 million like, those guys isn't even that much money.
It's
and
not.
That's like, the sixth highest salary this year on the Nets.
Right.
It's not a lot of money.
Right.
When you look at some of these other teams that have 4 or 5. The Angels aren't that good. They've got 4 players making $15 million or more.
He almost made it seem like they weren't going the extra mile. You know, and maybe that's frustration. But he said, like, we always saw, because like, he was talking about, it was never the coaches when I played. It was always us. The coaches gave us the information. We used it. We worked hard at it. And it's almost insinuating that maybe there's some extra stuff that he feels like the guys are doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're just reading between the lines by what is not said.
Look, if they had lost 5 in a row to the Rangers and the Mets and maybe 1 to the Marlins, okay, that's one thing. But to get swept by the Marlins at home, that's bad.
I mean, the Marlins swept them and they're still 2 games behind the Nats.
Yeah, like they're
28
not good.
And 41.
But again,
and that's 30
Marlins
and 41.
Fans would say the same thing that we're saying. Look at the payroll.
Right.
Our owners are not spending money on the players in free agency.
So the question now is, if this continues, how much longer can this continue before Davey Martinez potentially gets fired? Like, are you in favor of firing Davey Martinez at this point in the midst of an 8-game or now longer losing streak if they start losing to the Rockies?
I'm sure a lot of fans are. The Drabbies of the world are. And if they lose 3 out of 4 to the worst team maybe in history of baseball,
right?
The Rockies, who I believe have 13 wins, then maybe they just have to do
it. They have 14 wins.
Okay, that's right. They won
14
yesterday.
14-57.
They beat the Braves yesterday.
Right.
But if Rizzo, like Eric is saying, if Rizzo is really a Davey guy and Rizzo behind the scenes is blaming the players too, maybe he says, F it. I'm not firing the coaches. I'm not doing that. It's not their fault.
I think if Rizzo thought it was the coaches, he'd fire coaches.
Or sometimes the manager just has to pay. I mean, look how bad the Orioles were playing and they had to fire somebody, so they fired the manager.
Right. I agree.
And now they did start playing better, but maybe he just thinks it's the team's just not performing. It's not Davey's fault. It's not the hitting coach's fault. It's not the pitching coach's fault. The player's got to do it, and maybe he sticks with him.
And Davey's in the last year of his deal, so maybe he's gone to ownership and says, I don't want to fire him in the last year of his deal. I want to just give him the chance to correct it and try to turn this thing around.
There's not that much correcting he could do. No one in the world thinks they're going to finish even at 500. No one ever thought that.
I mean, that would be a real stretch at this point.
The best they were going to do is win like 75 games, maybe. 70. I mean,
and that would be an increase over. Yeah, that would be an improvement.
I mean, nobody in the world thought they would even be a 500 team.
And I'm now I'm worried about my win total at 70.
Now
and a half.
We're really sweating it
because 30 and 41. All right, so now they've got it. If my math is correct, they got to go 41 and 50.
We need them to win 3 of 4 against the Rockies.
But it already 100%. Shows you. By the way, it already shows you that Davey's on thin ice anyway. The fact that he's coaching essentially in the last year of his contract essentially is. They have a club option.
Yeah.
But he has no control. But maybe he's at the mercy of them.
Again, maybe the learners just don't want to go out and spend a bunch of money on a manager where other teams do. And they'll go after the big name, the Terry Francona's of the world.
They've always cut corners when it's come to managers.
But why do they have to spend why can't they just get anybody else? Why do we bunch of money?
Because do you think that you're just making change for the sake of change? Because you want a scalp.
He thinks that
you're
another
looking for a scalp.
He thinks that another a lesser name manager slash staff would get more wins out of this. I don't believe they would.
Well, no, I'm just saying that the message is clearly lost. Like there comes a time when it just no longer hits home.
Right.
Or they're just not developing players properly, which also I think is a big part of it.
It could be at that point.
Maybe you might be right. And maybe they're not listening to him like they used to. That could be the case.
What do you mean used to? He's had one 90-win season. They had one good season.
Look at his rosters for the last 4 years.
I know, like I said earlier.
You can't blame him for
that. Are we supposed to both just sit here for a decade and wait for Davey and Rizzo to twiddle their thumbs as the learners do control the team as they want? We're not allowed to try anything new.
If they're going to still pay him, yes.
If you want Davey
gone, but my point is, you've
got
to spend more than $67 million to win games.
I totally agree on that.
It's impossible.
The guys they spent money on suck.
But those
you got Garcia dropping can of corn pop-ups.
Losing games because of it. The Ruiz thing is kind of mind-numbing because they gave him an 8-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the course of 8 years, he's not making a ton of money. It's $55 million
or something.
But
still, that's a significant investment for this team, the way they spend money.
If this player is not a good defensive player, which we thought he was when he was with the Dodgers, and maybe he's getting worse, maybe he's just lazy, that goes on Riz. I'm sorry. That goes on Mike Rizzo.
Most managers won't make it through this turmoil till when they finally get good again. Most coaches in any sport. Yeah. So it wouldn't be unusual if they decided to pull the plug on Davey in the middle of some horrific losing streak.
Right.
Even though it doesn't mean it's Davey's fault. Most managers don't win a championship and then go through 5 years of sucking and then... And then they start turning the corner, and then they're able to hold on through. It's not a thing, right? So they probably will eventually let him go. Could even be week. Who knows? If they lose 4 or 5 more in a row, it might just become untenable.
If they get swept by the Rockies at home, that is unsurvivable, in my opinion. Then the loss streak is at 12.
Oh, they're not going to get swept by the Rockies. I'm sorry. I'll bet anybody anything.
If they get swept by the Rockies at Nats Park, there's no way Davey Johnson comes out on the other side.
Well, even
still
if they lose 2 out of 4, if they split the series, let's just say they lose the first 2 of the series and that's 10 straight losses.
Right.
Riz might not have a choice.
The pressure, will be building and mounting for him to make a move.
But I just wonder how Nats fans feel.
All right, we'll take your calls. Next at 800-636-1067. First, what did you think of Davey's postgame comments on Saturday? And secondly, does Davey Johnson deserve to be fired in the midst of an 8-game losing streak with the Rockies coming to Nats Park? 800-636-1067. We'll take your calls next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're here. B is off today. Toby Altizer sitting in. It's a perfect day for Tobo because we got trouble in Nats Town. Hello, Toby. How do you do?
What's going on, man? Plenty of trouble in Nats Town. Plenty of stuff we got to get into. I mean, it's a disaster over there right now. I'm excited. I'm going to go over there after the show. Brady House making his debut tonight. Excited about that. But it feels like, I mean, you're used to this sort of stuff, JP, covering the disaster that was the Skins for a while.
Yeah, dude.
When things are going bad, let me throw out something else so you can divert some of that energy away.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I was talking to CK earlier. and maybe we can wait to get into this, but I can't help but, like, just as somebody that is aware they've lost 8 in a row, 11 out of 13, and aware that Davey kind of stepped in it and then kind of doubled down in stepping in it in his comments, you know, you start to wonder how long the banner keeps you safe, right? And 2019 was a long time ago. Also, they never really got their victory parade because of COVID and everything else. Like, even the victory parade might keep everybody safe. But eventually, you know, Bobby Bowden got fired. Like, Pat Riley got fired. Guys get fired. I mean, that's the industry coaches are in. I don't know what's going to happen with Davey, obviously. I think Riz is such a try to keep the big perspective in mind.
Well, and they're kind of tied at the hip. Riz and Davey have been very close, and they work closely together on a lot of stuff. So I wonder if he's going to try to give him, you know, I think Riz has a safer chance than Davey, especially after Davey's comments.
If they fire Mike Rizzo, they're the stupidest bunch of people on the planet.
I don't think they're going to fire
Riz. You can put that on a quote board, whatever you want to do. He's not the problem. Ownership's the problem.
Correct.
And I'm going to try to be cool and understand the bigger picture of, like, the individual 8-game losing streak and, like, the comments don't help, because I get it, and I always go back to, well, you don't spend any damn money,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
And I want to be more fully aware of everything occurring, okay? Like, I get that, and I understand, you know, Nats fans that are – dude, it's funny. So, happy Father's Day to all from yesterday. I hope, you know – I want to be clear, too. Like, you don't have to be the dad to be the dad. Whoever is in charge of – of kids' lives, whoever's picking up and dropping off at soccer practice and making lunches, whoever you are out there, we got love for you. It's funny. So one of my favorite things to do on Father's Day, because I always used to go with my dad, is Tasty Diner. It's this little diner in Bethesda. It's one of the few things that's been around a really long time. And I went there yesterday for breakfast. My wife, be honest here, my wife pretty much hates going there. It's there's not a lot of, like, yogurt parfaits and vegan almond milk. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But they got great corned beef hash, which is my
wheelhouse. I saw that on your story. I was jealous.
Yeah, dude. I got a milkshake at, you know, 10 a.m. I was
awesome.
Living. But it's old school, so you're kind of packed in there. And the place was jumping. We had to wait a couple minutes, and all good. I love those people. I love that place. And at the booth next to me, two dudes, it would remind me if it was like you and your dad, or maybe even like you and your uncle, or possibly a grandfather, like the ages. But all decked out in Nats gear. Clearly, they're going to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just debating if Davey's getting canned or not. And it was just interesting for that to be the discourse I could hear sitting next to me. And the old dude's like, you got to fire him. He's got to go. And the younger guy's like, I don't know. We'll see. And for that to be the conversation right now, when they're 30 and 41. So a week ago, they were like three games under 500. And it's just funny what one bad week can do. They're 1-9 in their last 10. I go back to, you don't spend any money. This is a problem of your own making. But that doesn't change individual decisions night over night. And Toby, you just said it. So they're calling up Brady House tonight, by far their best hitting prospect. A lot of excitement for that. And I can't help. I said this to CK. I remember when they were going to fire Jay Gruden, right? And this, when was that? 18? 19?
Yeah, sometime around there.
19, because Ron was the next year. So I remember leaving the Meadowlands in, I want to say it was week three. They went up to the Giants and got smoked. And I think Jay is, it was week four. So they start 0-5, right? Because then they lose to the Pats at home. But I remember, and I think Jay has now said this publicly in one of his radio appearances or his wherever he may have said this. But I remember this look on Gruden's face. Leaving the Meadowlands, they just dropped to 0-4. They were 24-3. And I don't know that people all know this, but like, players obviously go take a shower, clean up, change their clothes. Coaches do the same thing. And the head coach, even in away locker rooms, away stadiums, the head coach still has an office with his own private bathroom. And so by the time the coaches are coming out, is usually like pretty late into the process. And I remember just standing there, and the Meadowlands has two exits from the locker room. There's one that kind of goes down to the tunnel down into the stadium, into the playing field, and this other one that goes into this back hallway that takes you to the buses. And I'm just standing back there. In a lot of ways, Toby, sometimes there's leftover food, so I was kind of just waiting to see what might happen once all the team clears out. And I see Jay come out, and he looks around with this look on his face like, when are they going to fire me? Let's get this bleep over with. And it was just so obvious he knew what was coming because he was put forth to be a sacrificial lamb for a terrible team. The assembly of that roster was god-awful, and it was Bruce. And Jay knows how to coach football. I think he's a brilliant offensive mind. You know, I think if he ever got another crack at it, the leader of men stuff would need some work. But, like, he was set up that year for, okay, we're going to start awful. I mean, I remember on these airwaves, the afternoon host said they're going to start 0-5. What are they going to do? I mean, they were big underdogs in all of those games. And I knew in that moment, he's looking around waiting to get fired. And then I also knew Bruce is waiting for him to go lose to the Pats next week to give Callahan a chance when they go to Miami in week six at a win. Because you want your new guy to have a chance. And this was politics. This was saving face. I always talk about the NFL is a protect your ass type of operation. You know what I mean? Like, it is CYA all day. And I just wonder, dude, with the Rockies coming to town, who are god-awful, you got four games at home against the Rockies. God-awful team. What is the Rockies' record right now?
17-54, I believe.
I mean, what? Dyslexia just hit you there, Toby. They're 14-57.
Yeah. So even worse somehow.
So you're calling up this prospect. So the Natstown fans are excited to see that. You got the Rockies coming to town. If you could take three of four. Now, I don't know if you could take three or four with Davey and everything's cool, or if whoever the hell, what are they going to promote? A bench coach? A pitching coach? Like, Ryan Zimmerman going to get the job?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Miguel Cairo, their bench coach, but here's my issue with it, JP.
Like, just on the surface, the political, the self-preservationness of it all, this is the right time.
100%. And my thing is, when you look at what Davey has been good at in his time here in D.C., his best attribute and why they won the World Series in 19, frankly, it's not his managerial skills in terms of making pitching changes, setting
Stay
a lineup.
In the fight.
He is such a good motivator. He is so good in the clubhouse.
Perseverance.
And when you have guys start to lose some of that faith, well, then what is he good for? Because I actually don't think he's that good of a tactical manager. Like, he's not great with pitching changes. I've always had problems with that. I don't think he's great at lineup construction. And look, some of that is he doesn't necessarily have stuff to work with. But regardless, I've never thought that he was great. And it's funny because the dichotomy of all that is I don't know that there's a single manager in the history of baseball that could have managed the 19 postseason in terms of how he managed that pitching staff any better. So I don't know how in the world he flipped a switch for the 19 postseason where he was nails, but the rest of his time, even in 2019, before they got to the postseason, it was questionable at times with the way they'd manage in games. But he was always so good at keeping his guys focused. His guys were positive. I thought he was good for this rebuild in terms of James Wood, Dylan Cruz, C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, all these guys. They needed a steadying force because there was going to be a lot of losing that was going to come with this rebuild, and they needed a guy that was going to keep them positive. And Davey, for the most part, has done a great job of this. And when you think about Davey's time here, how many times has he gone to the podium and stood up for players that neither of us would have stood up for,
right,
that no Nats fan would have stood up for? And so for him to come out and say on Saturday, oh, it's never the coaching. We work our tails off.
Let's hear the audio. Yeah. Let's hear what Davey said, because this, I think, is what has pissed a lot of people off.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I know you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching?
It's never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches.
Oddly defensive.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't, now you don't think he necessarily meant how it sounded.
No, I think what Davey does a great job of is he loves to take the blame or deflect bullets away from guys that are under fire, right? He does a great job of that with players. I think in turn, what he was trying to do here is he's deflecting some of that away from Darnell Coles, the hitting coach. He stood up for a Jim Hickey or whoever you may talk about on that coaching staff. I think he does a good job of sticking up for them. The problem was, in this case, someone has to be blamed. Someone has to. You've lost 8 in a row. Because after these comments, Andrew Golden talked to him on Sunday before the game and was asking him, hey, so you weren't talking about players? He's like, oh, no, I never mentioned players, which he did mention players a little bit, a little later on in that press conference. But then he's like, it's not coaches either. Well, then who is it, Davey? Like, you have to, at some point, when you lose 8 in a row, it's on somebody. And so I don't think he was trying to purposely throw the players under the bus. But when you say it's never coaching, how could it never be coaching, JP? I've seen guys get thrown out at the plate because your third base coach made a horrible send. I've seen them hold a guy, whether it was Jacob Young or Ricky Gutierrez, on Saturday. It's a decently deep, not overly deep, but medium depth fly ball to left field with Jacob Young on third base with an out. You could have tied the game, and Jacob Young just stays put on third base. Is that not coaching, or is that players? Like, at some point, the players have to get up there, and they have to throw strikes. They have to hit the baseball. His point there is 100% correct. Davey's not stepping in the box. Jim Hickey's not on the mound. Darnell Coles isn't in the box. I get all of those things, so he's right about that. But how could it never be coaching? This team has consistently, under Davey Martinez, been one of the worst base-running teams in the bigs. That's not on coaching? You're telling me you can't fix some of that stuff? The players have to execute it, but clearly your principles or whatever you're working on weren't getting through, and you're constantly running into outs on the base paths. So the issue is the phrasing to say it's never coaching, because then it comes across as, well, it's never my fault. It's always the player's fault. And I think for some of the players, it probably just brushes off their back, and they said, Davey stood up for me 100 times. This was a mistake. He didn't clearly mean it. He addressed the team before the game on Sunday. And I'm sure for some of the guys, it was, you know, Davey's our guy still. He just slipped up, no problem. But for some of the guys in that clubhouse, I'm sure it was frustrating. And even Andrew Golden had another report saying that there were some frustrated, dismayed players in that clubhouse before the game on Sunday. Mike Rizzo's down there talking to guys. It feels like that's the beginning of the end, JP. And maybe it rides out the rest of the season, but it feels like that's the beginning of the end when you have a manager inadvertently or purposely, however you want to interpret it, throwing his players under the bus. The players start to get frustrated, and it's a manager that you can't say with the exception of 19, because they won a World Series in 19, but he hasn't been good with the exception of 19, right? So it's a weird spot for them to be in, losing 8 in a row. If they can win 4 against the Rockies, maybe you can fix things a little bit. But JP, they go on the road, then they take on the Dodgers, they take on the Padres, they take on the Angels, they come back home, they take on the Tigers.
Yeah,
one of the best teams
that West Coast swing is going to be
This is
ugly.
A difficult stretch.
It feels, right.
So the worst team in baseball is coming in, maybe in baseball history, is coming to town. If you don't win 3 of 4, frankly, if you really don't win 4 of 4 almost, then we're looking at real dire times for this team. And at some point, changes need to be made, whether it's Davey, whether it's someone else. I'm not the one to make that decision, but something has to happen. You can't constantly have bad results and then expect no changes to be made.
So I hear you, and I hear Nats fans' anger. What did you expect? The owners won't spend any money. Like, I remember it's not that all roads lead back to College Park, right? But I remember when Mark Turgeon was coaching at Maryland, and there was a vocal part of the fan base that wanted him fired. It's like, all right, who are you going to get? What are you going to do that's going to make a difference? Because shout out to Miguel Cairo. Like, I remember him as a player. I looked up his stats. I mean, he was like a – here, I just pulled it up. Played 17 years in the bigs. I'm sure he's a nice fella. Never talked to him in my life. You think it's different? Or is this just a need? Yo, we're pissed. They've lost 8 in a row. You made some dumb comments. Somebody's got to go. We need a head to roll. Is this just like the French Revolution? We're just throwing people under the guillotine? Like, something's got to happen? Because I'm not even saying that's necessarily wrong. But, like, whatever happens here, do you think it's going to make any impact? Because I don't.
No, it probably won't. But the reality is, in professional sports, something has to change to appease the fan base, to appease whoever. And it's not going to be all 26 men on the roster somehow go to AAA and they bring up all of Rochester. That's not how it works, right? So the players aren't going to change. They made a couple of changes. They sent down Hassel. They sent down Tana. Here comes House. Here comes Lyle. Maybe they provide a spark. But it's not like all of a sudden everything's going to change from two players. So whether it's the third base coach, whether it's the pitching coach, whether it's the hitting coach, it really doesn't matter. But the fan base has every right to be frustrated because, to your point, ownership hasn't spent. The other issue is last year...
Do they have to spend more? Like, if they fire him, these dudes aren't paying somebody to not
correct.
Work. What's his contractual status? Per Russell, it's up at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Dude, you're going nowhere. I
don't know that I'm advocating fire him right now because I don't know what that gets you, but I for sure would be saying we can't have any more of that because your best selling point is that you rally the guys. And if you frustrated the guys, then what are you here for? Because it's not as if he's some genius like, you know, when we talk about Joe Maddon or Craig Counsell or some of these managers,
Bochy. How
they're thinking ahead, right?
And
they're doing all these analytical things. That's not Davey. So if Davey's not helping you in game by making a pitching change, one pitcher early and it works or whatever he's doing, well, then what exactly is your plan here? How are you helping me if you've somehow frustrated the clubhouse too?
Good tweet here from Will Kavanaugh. He just hit me and said, Davey's comments gives the same energy as Ron Rivera's quarterback comment. Remember when Ron, I don't know. I was there for a lot of the steps with Ron, and that situation was so screwed up that he kind of stuck around because ownership was a mess, and then there was a sale and blah, blah, blah.
To Davey's credit, this is not Davey Martinez-like. Danny said this in the afternoon. I felt this way as well. Davey's someone I'd love to play for. Because he's always stood up for his guys. He could have a dude run into the worst out ever to end a game, and he'd be like, oh, no, we're behind that guy 100%. He's done that a million times, JP. This is a one-off where he came out and essentially threw his players under the bus.
Yeah.
But it's a weird spot to be in where an 8-game losing streak is one thing. We were talking before the show. They had a 7-game losing streak last month.
Right.
So it's not as if this is unheard of. But to have the 8-game losing streak, your manager seemingly throwing people under the bus when that's out of character for him, that's when you know it's really gotten bad. That's when you know when a coach or a manager makes comments like that, that's when you realize that they feel like they're up against the wall, when they can see the end of the road, when they can see that they're kind of running on thin ice here, and he makes that sort of comment. I think he's intending to protect his coaches who are even on thinner ice than him. If you go on Nats Twitter at all, which, by the way, Nats Twitter is crazy at times, some of the stuff that they say.
Yeah.
But regardless.
But that's what they're supposed to be.
Absolutely. They're calling for the hitting coach, the pitching coach, on a nightly basis. You throw in the fact that they're questioning the coaches, and then Davey's trying to stand up for him, but then throws the players under the bus. Now Davey gets thrown in with the other coaches. So It's a weird spot. I don't know what the right answer is. To your point, if you fire Jim
Hickey, what are you going to do?
You fire Coles, you fire Martinez. It's not as if all of a sudden the Nationals go on a 12-game win streak and they're back in the playoff chase. It's not really going to change things, but fans have every right to be frustrated when this team was very close to being at 500, and now they're seemingly out of it before the All-Star break.
But the very close to being 500 part, doesn't he deserve some credit for that?
Sure, absolutely.
But
they've done that same thing the last couple of years.
Dude, I get it. And like, even the World Series year, they were 19-31. Yep. They were very famously 19-31. I understand the frustration and kind of the need to feel like something is happening. I wonder if organizationally they think the Brady House thing is that move. I feel similar. Now, the kid's mashing, right? You got to call him up at some point. Let's do it.
Yep.
But you do wonder if it's not a little distractionary. You know, the don't look over here, look over here. I'm not advocating to get rid of Davey. I do understand the comments create an uproar. And it's so easy to say, fire the coach, fire the coach, fire the coach. What are you going to do? Are they going to be better? Like, whoever's next? Or is it just sometimes you get to a point where you just got it? You got to go. Something's got to happen.
The only reason I would say if you're going to fire Davey is if it's true that he's kind of lost the clubhouse.
Right.
If the clubhouse is just all out, then maybe you have to move on. I don't think that's the case. I think there are guys in there that are frustrated. Maybe guys that haven't had as long a relationship with Davey are frustrated right now. I don't know personally any of that. But I think keeping a steadying force like Davey is good if he's going to continue being that steadying force.
Right.
If he's now divisive, then I don't know what you do.
So Finnegan coming set, the 1-2 on the way. Swinging a fly ball deep right field. Lyle going back at the track. He leaps, and he can't get it. It's gone into the bullpen. And the Rockies lead it 6-4. A two-run homer for Mickey Moniak. And Finnegan, who had not given up a home run all season, has surrendered two here in the ninth.
As we welcome you back to Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Nats had their losing streak fall to 9 last night. And they are 12 under 500. We spent the day talking about the gift that the Colorado Rockies being on the schedule were. It could also work out that it's not a blessing, but it's a curse that you're playing this terrible team and now you lose some games. And that's how baseball works. Sometimes you lose to teams that are better than you. And it could end up being not only the undoing of the season in the way of the standings, which is happening before our eyes, but it really could end up leading to major changes for the Nationals. So the question for you guys at 800-636-1067 is, you get to make one move. You're sitting in the Mike Rizzo chair, and you get to do one thing today as far as the Nationals goes. You're making a change. What is it? 800-636-1067 is the number, 800-636-1067.
So this is not something I say lightly. I never like to sit here and advocate for people's jobs simply because it's something that you should take very seriously. It's got to rise to a pretty egregious level, and I think we're here now. I don't know if it's all his fault, but I do know that symbolically, to show everybody that what's happening is not okay, I'll move on from Darnell Coles. That's what I would do. Last night, what's lost in all this is they managed 4 hits against a Rockies staff that's horrendous. Their starting pitcher is a minor leaguer. He stinks. A 7.77 ERA diced you up for a handful of innings before you eventually got to him in the fifth. But come on, man.
You mean Cy Palmquist?
Yeah, old Cy Palmquist, right? Now, is he a... I mean, it sounds like a weird character in a kid's novel about baseball. Palmquist, whatever the hell the kid's name is. Enough. Enough of this. They don't hit. I know a lot of the reason they don't hit is because Josh Bell is going to get 600 at-bats, hitting .180. I know that, you know, they have a bunch of 4A guys hanging out in the middle of the order, and Keber Ruiz isn't any good. I know all the information. I just have to do something to show everybody this is what happens when this is happening.
Yeah, it's a results business. Say no more. The point I often bring up with their offense is that when you look at the expected numbers, which speak to the process, not the result, you know this better than most. You played college baseball. The process can be very good, and you can barrel a ball and do everything you were coached to do and everything you're supposed to do, and baseball's a cruel mistress. It's an out. Last night, you know how many balls they hit over 100 miles an hour?
No.
Just take a guess. What would be, like, first, what would be a good number in a baseball game over 100 miles an hour?
Like 8 to 10, somewhere in there?
They hit 10 last night.
Yeah.
They had 4 hits. So last night, they got unlucky. And it stands to reason, if that's true, then you could get unlucky plenty of other games, and they have, by the way. Their expected batting average, I believe, is still top five. Their expected slug is still top 10 in baseball. But I could say that out of one side of my mouth, and on the other say, that doesn't make you feel any better, does it?
Mm-mm.
And to your point, the change is kind of the pulling of the goalie. It is the thing you can do to just rattle some cages, for lack of a better phrase. Like to just, you know, go into the clubhouse and make people uncomfortable and say, we got to do something here. So I understand the Coles idea. If I was making a change on the coaching staff, I feel bad. I don't know this guy at all. Might be the best coach ever, and he might be the best guy ever. Ricky Gutierrez, thank you for the time at third base. It's been real.
Let's get someone else a chance over there to get guys thrown out.
I don't know how to quantify a good third base coach versus bad. It's not an easy thing to look up in terms of like outs going from third to home, or what's a good send, what's a bad send. How do you statistically judge that? That's not a stat you can find on Baseball Reference. I just know they get too many guys thrown out. They have too many mistakes. They had one recently during this skid where Jacob Young didn't score. They had two guys thrown out at home while they're not scoring runs, averaging two per game this month again. And it hasn't been good enough. And when I look at Mike Rizzo talks about the back of the baseball card.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy with a long back of the baseball card in this role. It's not like he's done it in four places and he's got a bunch of people screaming about how good he is. So he might be great. Also, you could tell me it's a little bit of a cop-out because is that really that big of a deal? Probably not. Switching out the third base coach is like firing the kicker, essentially. It's just a yeah, move right. to make a move. But I think that's kind of what is necessary.
Kind of what we're talking about.
At least at that point, all of the people who are frothing at the mouth correctly about how terrible they're playing would be able to say that they did something. Okay, so if you want meat, that's the meat I will throw you for right now. I don't know if that'll suffice. I don't know, as you're chomping on it, if that's going to go down smoothly and be what you're looking for. But I will tell you another move I would make. Drew Millis would get called up from the minor leagues. This is kind of a rearranging of a deck chair. Their catching situation is a disaster at this point. K-Bert Ruiz has one of the lowest OPSs in baseball, and I think we're kind of at the end of the road in terms of wondering, is there a corner to be turned? You know, can he get right? Is he going to be the long-term answer? I think the data has come back in for the most part now over a long enough stretch to have a pretty good idea of that. But his backup, Riley Adams, is 0 for his last, I believe it's 32 at the plate right now.
Oof.
Might be 31. He is 5 for the entire season. I've long liked Riley Adams as a power bat, a righty against lefties. A couple seasons ago, he raked against left-handed pitching. I think to some extent his season was derailed because he barely got to play for weeks at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all his fault. But Danny's 5 for 55 this season.
Yikes.
5 for 55. And he does not have a hit in over 30 at-bats. What is it that you'd say you do here? So Millis is up, and I would start Millis over Ruiz. And while he's benched, essentially, and not starting every single night, I'm working with him. I'm tinkering. They can't send him down, or I would do that. He's out of options. But I am basically on the side. He could start a day game on a Sunday or whatever and get a right. little bit of work until he gets going. But I'm acting as if he's in West Palm Beach, essentially, while Drew Millis, who's in AAA, not raking by any means, but he's athletic, he can run, he can throw. I think he is currently the guy that would give you the most offensively in the organization at catcher, and I'm trying that. They don't really have a great solution, but to me, this would be the one move they could make that's kind of, as far as players go, where you go, whoa, they mean business. Remember when they sent Luis Garcia down and like told him to get in shape?
Yes.
That was a big moment, I thought. Because you could tell Mike Rizzo's furious.
Mm-hmm.
Davey Martinez.
They've had enough.
Doesn't like this guy right
uh-huh.
now. The Ruiz situation would be similar. He has had a leash longer than the line at the DMV. If you made a move at catcher, I think it would be indicative of something. But what's your one move that you would make? Ramsey and Waldorf, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Hey, how y'all fellas doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
Appreciate y'all taking my call. All right. I mean, I'm going to just be honest with you. I really like David Martinez as a person. I think he's a good guy, great guy, but his intensity is not there for me. He don't put no fire on these guys. You know what I'm saying? No, he's just too calm and too cool and too collective for me. I would just like, you know, like first base, like when you, not first base, when you shooting for the first time, you know, the first pitch, no one swings at the first pitch. James Wood, I love all of them, but none of them switch at
I would argue with that a little bit. They see fewer pitches than almost every team in baseball. So there's plenty of swinging at the first pitch. C.J. Abrams writes the book on it.
He leads the league in it. Yeah, I mean, so
I would say that, you know, not that you should never do that. You pick your spots, but they could go the other way more often, which is to make pitchers work.
Yeah, but the fire element is such a hard thing. Right? When you're losing, fans want to see, I'm upset. Are you upset at all? Wouldn't it be nice if you showed me some upset? But part of the reason the players love a guy like Davey Martinez, I'm just devil's advocate here, is steady Eddie. You don't know if we won 15-0 the night before, we got beat 21-2 the night before. Like, he shows up and he's the same positive guy. Players appreciate that in general. Now, when it's not working, it all of a sudden looks a lot worse, right? I mean, again, my Rivera comp is always the same way. Like, that dude seems like a pretty pleasant man, a nice guy. But when your cutesy, folksy little sayings, when you're 4-13 and you don't know you can be eliminated from the postseason, oh my God, you clown shoe, get out of here. Like, it's infuriating.
I talked about this yesterday. His popularity and reverence from a player standpoint in clubhouses stems from the consistency. The never wavering, the never changing, the positivity not going away, which was the mistake that he made with his comments over the weekend. And his hand did shake. It rarely doesn't. But he showed some of the agitation and the frustration that's getting to him at this point. But I think more often than not, I do want a very stoic-looking manager who doesn't look phased. I thought it was a mistake when he was phased and basically came out barking this weekend while trying to defend his coaching staff. But I think it's not hypocritical to say that, and to also say in game, if he were to go out and defend someone who, you know, doesn't like a strike call or something, be a nice time to do that. Like, go get ejected. You haven't been ejected all year. The next time one of his guys has an issue with a call, or, you know, a pitcher's getting squeezed or something, might not be the worst time to just go out there, show the boys you got their back, kick some dirt around, throw a rosin bag like a grenade and see what happens. Stewart's in Fredericksburg on Grant and Danny. What's up?
Howdy, fellas. I know you want me to be the general manager and make a change on the baseball side, but if I'm the omnipotent DC sports god, it starts at the top. The learners have to sell the team. It's organizational rot from the top down. And I mean this not just from a baseball operations perspective, the product that's on the field, but they cry poor, and yet they can't find naming rights for the stadium. They can't get a jersey ad patch that gives them money to actually invest in the team, to turn one of these $2 or $3 million bullpen arms into a $10 or $12 million bullpen arm that you can rely on. Because outside of Kyle Finnegan and Cole Henry, there's not a single person on the team that you can rely on in a stressful situation to get outs for you. And in a division where teams are investing money like crazy, whether it's the Mets, the Phillies, or the Braves, you just don't have enough talent on the field to compete. So, yes, you can make a change at catcher. You can call up Millis. You can make a change with the hitting coach to try to find some offense. But until you're willing to invest in the team and find some talent that can compete in this division and in Major League Baseball, you're doing yourself a disservice. James Wood is a superstar. We can't market him. We're not making money off of that. He's going to walk. Mackenzie Gore is closer to walking than signing a new deal with this team. And that starts from the top down. The learners refuse to invest, and we will be stuck in baseball purgatory until they sell the team. And it stinks, man. It really is a bummer when you are able to compete consistently for so long, but after that money goes away, you're just left in the wilderness. And that is a terrible place to be, man. And it's a real bummer as a Nats fan. Thanks, fellas.
Very well said.
We'll stop you when you say something we disagree with.
Yeah, we can put our feet up.
Now, that was the straw man answer in the sense that, yeah, that's probably going to help more than calling up Drew Millis.
Yeah, every Redskins conversation we had started with that for decades. Correct, yeah.
They're either going to sell or they're not, and there's no Major League Baseball getting involved in Jim Irsay saying they need to happening here. I mean, these are good people that treat people well that just right now aren't spending any money. This is not a Dan Snyder situation. So as long as they're owning the team, it looks like this is the scenario. And I'll say one more thing. I had different people over the last couple of years in my ear suggesting and giving me some optimism that they would spend when it was time. This past offseason being when they would have spent it.
That would have been time, yeah.
Hey, they're just not engaged right now or spending right now because it's not time to do it in the rebuild. And I go, I totally get it, but how do I know they're going to? Oh, look at the past they did. And then this offseason came and went, and they didn't. And so, fool me six times, shame on me. I'm not sure what the saying is. So there's going to be hope, because if you don't have hope, what do you have, that they spend this offseason.
But I will just now be in the mode of being pleasantly surprised when they do. I have no expectation that it's going to happen. Because if you weren't willing to this offseason, there's no real reason why you would next offseason. You wasted a year of control of Abrams and Gore, who are closer to free agency. You wasted the first full season of James Wood in this Dylan Cruz year without supplementing and adding talent. So I don't think that there's now going to be some renaissance spend where they decide, okay, we're ready, it's time. We just took a little sabbatical from spending because you guys weren't ready for money, but now you are. I think this is what it is. And that's a reality we got to deal with. But you know what? You got to find a way to compete like the Rays do, like the Guardians do, yep. like some of these other teams do. And it means you can't miss in the draft. You can't miss in development. It is maddening as a fan, and it should be. It's really, really frustrating.
Nats fans, this is your time to vent at 800-636-1067. Do you think Mike Rizzo can turn this team around with the learners as the owner?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I think it's a valid question with the amount of money they spend on the payroll compared to the other teams, certainly in the NL East that they're battling with.
I think if there was no sort of timeline, like, I think absolutely Mike could turn this around. I don't know if he could do it this year, next year. I mean, I have no idea. And unfortunately, they don't give people unlimited time frames. You know, I think Mike certainly could turn this around, but he may not be able to turn it around in time for everybody else's satisfaction. Drab's back here practicing his small talk for Mike.
Oh, he
calls
is?
At a nine.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a terrible day. What do you want me to tell you? Be a terrible day.
How's the practice going? Is it going well?
I'd like Mar to take over today. Okay. He can bubble his way through that.
Okay.
We got to ask tough questions. We will, but I mean.
Not fun for anybody.
We never want to talk to somebody with, you know, the local teams when they're off a 10-game losing streak.
We would much rather they be on a 10-game winning streak, and we're talking about that. That would be much better for all parties involved.
Just think how much different the conversation would be if they, all right, so they lost 8 straight, okay? And they lost to the Marlins. They got swept by the Marlins. But if they had pounded the Rockies the last 2 nights.
Just to get back on track.
It would have been a different conversation.
Yeah. No, it's like, whatever could go wrong is going wrong right now. Yes. It's a snowball.
And you
it's
saw that last night.
It's a catastrophe.
Yeah.
It's like whatever can go wrong is currently going wrong. And, you know. All right, let's go to John in Annapolis. John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Good morning, gentlemen. All right, so I got a proposal and a way to turn the Nets fortunes around and for you guys to just rake in those rating bonuses.
All right.
How many losses will it take for you guys to do the 24-hour on-air bit until they win?
Oh, I can't do that.
1,000 loss. I can't, 1,000 loss streaks.
Physically, we couldn't do it.
I'm not that committed.
Yeah. No.
Right, we couldn't do it.
Good idea, but...
You remember they did that in Baltimore.
We're
like the ownership level
of commitment to that bit.
Maybe if they got to like...
So you just keep you doing shows.
Soft. You guys are getting soft in your old age.
Hell yeah.
I agree with that. All right, thank you. Thanks. Thank you, John.
Yep, bye.
No, I would have to be on cocaine to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we would die.
Yeah.
Let's just say that they lose tonight, and then we go, okay, we're going to leave in the studio until they win.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
I mean, it could be weeks.
For a week.
It could be a week.
I'm already functioning on about 90 minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
I'd literally die.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You'd definitely get like shingles or something.
Oh,
something
yeah.
Something bad would happen. We'd all get
what
sick.
What if I would have told, what if Cake said, I'll bet you they get swept by the Rockies. And I would have said, I'll shave my head if they get swept by the Rockies.
I wish you had, because you'd be halfway there.
Can you imagine how much I'd be freaking out right now?
You'd be in a big sweat.
Because I didn't think there was a chance. Now,
no, you were very confident.
I would bet against them getting swept four games against the Rockies.
Who's pitching today? Has anybody even bothered to look?
Today? Is it Trevor Williams?
No, I thought it was Mitch. I thought it was Mitchell.
Oh, Parker?
Yeah. So I saw last night.
Okay. All right. I was wrong.
Yeah, it's Parker. Parker against some dude named Marquez, who's 2-8 with a 6.6 ERA.
All their starters have, all the Rocky starters have ERAs.
All
like
of the ERAs
near
are
10.
Astronomical.
Ours aren't much better, though. 4.96.
I would take 4.84 over 6.62.
I have 4.96. I don't know.
God,
how.
We need Gore to have pitched in this series. There's no chance the Rockies were beating Gore.
It's probably what you said about Gore against whoever he faced in the Marlins series. Probably the same.
All right, let's go to Brian in Silver Spring, 800-636-1067. Your chance to chime in. Mike Rizzo is going to be on this show in about 29 minutes. Brian, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, maybe JP could guest coach since he's the greatest leader of men since General Patton. But
where'd that come from?
The reason why I called is my anger is we are considered a major market team. Like, yeah. We could lose every game for the rest of the season, and in next year's draft, the earliest pick we'll have is the 11th pick because MLB says we are a major market team, but yet we don't spend like a major market team. We don't have a TV contract like a major market team. We don't attract players like a major market team. We're just a rudderless ship. And like I think Lurch, you've kind of said it mostly. I think the onus is on the ownership. I mean, there's what's hindering us from being the best we can. And Rizzo is a great GM. And I think maybe how good he is what's being held against him. Maybe ownership thinks that Rizzo is so good that he can make a masterpiece out of whatever budget they give him. And
what about Davey? Where do you hold Davey in all this?
I like Davey, but at some point in time, 2019 was a long time ago. It seems like he might just be checked out. I mean,
well, also, I think it was a John Madden that said, no, it's the NFL, it's different. But he said, you know, after 6 years, you know, the message becomes stale.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's kind of like about the time frame they are with Dave. You know, it's a different sport, but there aren't that many head coaches, managers, whatever,
that could withstand
that can
this.
Withstand this for this period of time.
And I would like right or them wrong. To get a new hitting coach. I would like them to get a new hitting coach. Because we're a very young team. We're very impressionable. And I think, do you guys remember 8-9 years ago when Daniel Murphy was here and he turned into Babe Ruth and he attributed it all to the Kevin Long tweaking him?
Uh-huh.
A hitting coach can go a long way, especially with a young team. That's at minimum what they should be doing right now.
Right. All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's what I thought they might do. And then they gave up like 7 bombs yesterday.
Yeah, the bullpen ERA is second worst in the league, and last night it showed it. And Cole Henry, like the other caller was saying, he was a second-round pick a few years ago out of LSU.
Yeah, but
Jackson Rutledge, obviously a pretty high pick. And those guys gave up four bombs.
But guys are allowed to have bad outings. It's true. Just that everyone's having a bad one right now at the same time. Because Henry had been pretty good prior to that.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, Rutledge had been kind of eh. But, you know, he had some appearances that were successful.
I mean, Rutledge in the month of June has pitched 7 2/3 and has given up 7 runs. So that's an ERA of nearly 9.
All right, go to May. Go to May.
May, he was slightly better. He pitched 13 innings, gave up 10 earned runs. So his ERA was just under 7.
Yeah.
So in the last 2 months, Jackson Rutledge has pitched 20 2/3 innings and given up 17 runs.
Yeah, it's
so been that's an ERA of roughly 7.5.
It's not working.
It ain't.
Haven't really even delved into does Mike Rizzo still want to keep working for owners that just hamstring him at every turn payroll wise? Like, he's 64 years old. Like, is he going to work forever? I mean, how many more years is he going to work in Major League Baseball?
Don't know.
Maybe he would like to go to a franchise that isn't so controlling with the payroll.
Maybe you ask him that at 9 o'clock.
I mean, I'm sure he's not going to talk about it. But
I'm sure he wouldn't, but at least you ask him.
You can ask.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Mike in DC.
I mean, how old is his son? How old is Sonny? Two?
2 years or something.
Yeah, he's young.
Mike, what's up?
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, Matt.
What's up?
I'm thinking James Wood and Gore are going to be gone probably by like this year to a team that's relevant. And the reason why,
I mean, if Mike Rizzo traded,
can you imagine if he traded Gore and Wood for a bunch of prospects?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, we don't have any pitching. We have a ton of hitters that aren't paid yet, and we're a team that doesn't pay any hitters at all.
Yeah.
Period. Like, no questions asked, and we're so good for like 3 or 4 innings. And like you said, Mike Rizzo's on the out, so it just makes sense for a team that's for sale to cut payroll. I think teams are being way more stingy now with payroll. I mean, the Boston's cutting guys that pay soccer team players. It's just like it's getting kind of ridiculous now with owners, and we're just kind of at mercy of it. And to be honest, like, what's the point of having a guy like Mike Rizzo there at all? Unless he got like a golden parachute type payment to hang around for a couple of years until he can be a part of like the sell package.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to see Riz make a major move today and just create a different vibe?
Do you want to scalp?
Yeah. Do you want to see him make a major move and get rid of Davey?
I think that the team needs a shakeup. And yep. I love Davey, and I don't think it has anything to do with the Davey. Because Davey, his arms are tied behind his back just as much as Rizzo with ownership. Let Davey go. He'll get a job quick, in my opinion. And, you know, just shake things up a bit. But they have no like, game plan. Like, it's just kind of aimless. And, you know, they can't put together a complete game, period. It's a sporadic, unnecessary roster that has, like, good players here and there. Too young, too old. No pitchers. Like, we don't have any pitchers. So, what are we going to do?
They went out and got Soroka. They clearly thought Mike Soroka was going to be, they gave him $9 million. Now, I understand $9 million for 1 year is not a lot of money for a pitcher, but
they thought he'd be decent.
They thought he'd be better. And last night, it was a quality start. Struck out 9. He kept him in the game. But over the course of the year, and I did have the injury to start the year, but you just haven't seen much. But maybe I'm just not giving him enough time.
Yeah, good pitcher, but I mean, where's the line at for guys? Like, you know, where's the line for $5 to $10 million pitchers now?
Yeah.
You're either like a tiny market team just trying to basically like hit a home run with a guy like Skeens, or you're making deals for like massive guys, and we're just not there anymore. The allure of like DC being the big hit baseball team for the next 10 years is just gone, and it just wasn't in the owner's plans.
Yeah.
Like, so do you think right now, do you think the future for the next 5 years is awful, or do you see something positive on the horizon?
Well, I think it's going to be fine. It's still a good baseball price, still a good time going to the games. It's still entertaining.
No, but how competitive do you think the team's going to be for the next 5 years?
Zero. The team's going to be zero competitive. Unless Mike Rizzo, they give him like
$200 million of payroll. Oh,
so you don't think the young guys, you don't think the young guys that they do have kind of on the brink are going to change much?
No, I think they're good. Those guys are going to be good, but by the time they're going to be good, we're going to have to pay them, and we're not going to pay them.
Yeah.
And it's just like
we're the Pirates.
We're the Cincinnati Bengals.
You think we're the Pirates?
In a way. Pirates. Not too much the Pirates, because, I mean, it's just there's zero product forever. We've actually done it, and we held sustainability for a long time. So, like, we still have that, like, oh my God, what if? Like, we could still, like, you know, what if?
What but it's false hope. You think it's false hope.
Oh, my God. You know, that's not going to happen.
All right. You know, thank you. Thank you, Mike.
We have pitchers. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, bud. Appreciate it.
The Nats lost again last night, 10-6 to Colorado. They gave up 7 home runs in the game to Colorado. For the Rockies, that tied a franchise best. They had 4 home runs in 1 inning, which also tied a franchise all-time best. How about 4 home runs in 1 inning, the 7th, as they stretched a 3-1 lead to 9-1. The Nats did get themselves, you know, 4 runs in the 9th, but they were down 10-2 entering that inning. So, given Dave Martinez's comments after Saturday's loss to Miami, when he was asked about the lack of offensive production, and he said, look, trying to parse out reasons for it, blame for it, if you will. He said, well, it's not on the coaches. It's never the coaches. And that didn't go over well, as Andrew Golden from the Post told us on Monday. Chelsea James mentioned it yesterday with us. The players were not very happy about that. And, you know, the timing of it was that they had lost after Sunday 8 games in a row, including 3 straight to a bad Miami team with Colorado coming to town. Colorado, as I mentioned, you know, one of the worst teams we've ever seen in the first half of a Major League Baseball season. And they've come in for the, you know, first 2 of 4 games with the Nats, and they've won the first 2. So in most situations, when you've got a manager that has not had a winning record since winning the World Series in 2019, but they have not had a winning record and a massively losing record since. In most places, that manager would have been in trouble a long time ago. In this situation, they've stuck with them, in part because, you know, ownership isn't giving this team maybe the chance that they perhaps deserve this year with some young talent and an opportunity had they added a bit more to be a better team. Mike Rizzo, I think the best general manager in town for many, many years, although AP giving him a run for his money for sure. And look, the Caps have done a nice job too. Mike Rizzo comes on every Wednesday? I think it's today. He was on today with the Junkies, and I think he makes a weekly appearance with the Junkies. And the Junkies got after it with him. They asked him, you know, about Davey's, you know, situation. Here's what Mike Rizzo said.
When he made the comments about don't blaming the coaches, you got to look at the players, they got to play better. Did you agree with that when you heard that?
Yeah, here's my take on that. It's, you know, Dave Martinez is as player-friendly managers I've ever had. You know, he and Dusty Baker, to me, run the clubhouse like no one else I've ever had in my career. So when you talk about, you know, one of the, you know, player managers in the league, Davey's one of them. This guy does 500, 600 interviews a year. You know, he does 2 a day, pregame, postgame, every time. And, you know, he's flawless. But, yeah, you know, he got caught in a frustrating, frustrating, angry, you know, we were six or seven, eight in a row at that time. And got caught in a frustrated moment and kind of lashed out. And I think it was out of frustration. Here's my take on that situation. There's onus on the players, there's onus on the coaches, there's onus on the manager, and there's a great onus on the general manager to do a better job. We all got to look in the mirror. You lose 10 games in a row. You said at the beginning, it's hard to lose 10 games in a row. I've never lost 10 games in a row. I'm just my 43rd year in professional baseball. I've never lost 10 in a row. It's tough. But you know, when tough times come, it's, you know, when tough times come, you have to deal with it. And you know, to me, Davey's the same manager in the clubhouse when there's no cameras on him and there's no media in the room. He's the same guy he was in that Marlins series as he was October 30th of 2019.
Right. So certainly that, and that's the first time I've heard it, doesn't seem like Davey's going anywhere. By the way, the first part of what he said, Tom yesterday with me, and Tom is very close to Mike Rizzo and a lot of people in that organization and covers the team very closely. The thing that he said to me yesterday is that Dave Martinez is one of the most player-friendly managers in the game and has been. Players love him. He never throws players under the bus. And what Mike Rizzo said there to start, you know, Davey is, you know, as player-friendly a manager as there is. He does hundreds of interviews, and he got caught in sort of a frustrating moment. I hear that. I think that that's completely true. We haven't, I mean, I don't think we have, that there have been a lot of instances in where Dave Martinez has made major headlines. Yeah, I mean, my first reaction to hearing that for the first time is that Dave Martinez is not going anywhere. And maybe it's the right decision for him not to go anywhere. And look, Mike Rizzo and those guys live it every day. They know what kind of person he is. They know what the locker room feels like, and they can take the temperature. They know what the temperature is, whether or not, you know, guys are quitting on him or bailing on him. But I thought that that first part of the comment was exactly what Lavero said to me yesterday. Tommy said, this is so out of character for him. He is as player-friendly a manager as there's been in the game. And to sort of, at least the perception was, and look, the words said as much, throw players under the bus. Tommy also suggested, look, he's also very protective of his coaches, of everybody on that managerial and coaching staff. And that was part of it as well. There was more, though, from Mike Rizzo. Here's the second soundbite, Max. This is the one that you slugged as Mike Rizzo on Davey's job security.
Even though you've lost 10, Davey's still your guy. You can't make a change. It's not going to. It's worthless.
Here's what I'll say about that. Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh hasn't won a World Series since we are family. Colorado's never won a World Series. And Baltimore, Davey Johnson was the last guy who won a World Series with Baltimore. This guy is proven through trials and tribulation that he can handle a roster. He can handle a veteran laden team, and he's developing at the big league level. And my track record is I have fired managers in midseason. I have fired managers after season. I have fired coaches midseason. I fired coaches after the season. We're all being evaluated. You know, we all got to look ourselves in the mirror. And we are at a point right now where we're moving forward with our development of these young kids. I think Davey still has the pulse of the clubhouse. He's a great clubhouse presence, and he's a calming presence. And I think that once we get through this thing and win a couple of games, which we will, that we can right the ship and continue progressing towards winning a championship, whenever that is. And I think that that's where my feelings are right now.
Going all the way back to 79, the We Are Family Pittsburgh Pirates. Yeah, they haven't won a World Series since, and Dave Martinez won a World Series in his second season in Washington. And at that point, they had gone 82-80 in year one, 93-69 in year two, and won the World Series, beating the Astros in seven games without one win at home for either team in the series. Since then, it's been a disaster. 26-34. Look, the COVID year. No organization in sports got as unlucky as Washington did with COVID. Following the first World Series in almost 100 years, you had a franchise that would have benefited significantly in terms of new revenue, incremental revenue opportunities, corporate sponsors, tickets sold, you know, merchandise, etc. And there was a 60-game season that got started late. They couldn't even celebrate. We couldn't celebrate this team in proper fashion. Not to mention that their owners are, you know, real estate, commercial real estate guys, and that was getting obliterated at the same time. And since, look, they finished, since the World Series, they finished in last place three times and in fourth place, next to last, twice. And this year, you know, very much looking like another season in which they are going to finish either fourth or dead last, fifth in the National League East. But Mike Rizzo, to his credit, like, he has fired, you know, in season. He has made changes. And they understand where that locker room is. They also probably understand you need a solution before you start shooting people. You know, that's in life in every, you know, situation, unless it's really bad and you can't do any, you know, harm by making a switch. But from what I've been told, they don't have an obvious replacement on staff. And because he's in the final year of his deal, they can address this at the end of the season. They're not going to be a wild card team this year. They're in the player development mode. And if Dave Martinez is good at that and isn't as good as, you know, managing a bullpen as he is in the development of young players like James Wood and Dylan Cruz, etc., you know, what's the point, especially if you don't have a solution? There was one more, I think, Mike Rizzo on ownership pressure. Here's what he said.
Their approach to the 10-game winning streak is they're very happy about it. You know, they're extremely excited about it. No, we're all very frustrated with it. We're all concerned with it, and you know, we have to play better. And we work as, you know, everything we do here is a team. I'm responsible for everything that goes on in baseball. The good and the bad and the 10-game losing streak. That's my team that I put out there, and I take responsibility for the successes and the failures of this franchise, and I think that's what leaders do, and I will continue to do that, and we'll continue to strive for to put the best product on the field that the DC people could be proud of.
Mike Rizzo from the Junkies last hour. Look, they've got two more with Colorado to try to break this 10-game losing skid. And then they go out west. Three against the Dodgers, three against the Padres, then three against the Angels, which is the weak spot of the schedule between now and the All-Star break, because after the Angels, they come home and they face the first-place Tigers, they face Boston, St. Louis, and Milwaukee on the road. I mean, brutal, brutal stretch schedule-wise coming up for the Nationals after these two games against Colorado. I mean, it could get very, very ugly. And could get to that point in which no matter what you think is best, you know, in the moment for the organization, you know, you don't have an obvious solution, it can't get any worse, we're okay, he's still well-liked, etc. You do get to that point where, let's just say, if the losing streak, you know, got to 15 or 18, where optically you have a customer base that's going to wonder if you're asleep at the wheel if you don't do something. So it certainly sounds like there isn't going to be anything happening with respect to Davey Martinez's job in the short term, no matter what happens. You look at their schedule between now and the All-Star break, it is brutal, and they could end up, you know, in a different, you know, situation a week and a half from now, if that losing skid is 15 or 16 or 17 games, or something like 16 out of 17, or 17 out of 19, or something like that, if it got to that point.
We've conducted a number of investigations today. Some can't be brought to air, but shout out to Jeff. He's been investigating.
Yeah, we're back on the air.
And we have another investigation pending.
What did Jeff do wrong?
Jeff and I cracked a mystery this week.
I am shocked.
Shout out to Jeff, J-E-P-H.
There's a new investigation afoot.
On who?
So there's cameras all over for the junks in the morning on Monumental, right?
Uh-huh.
And the cameras, I don't know what they're testing, but they keep putting Jeff on TV. And then landfill.
The possibility of us getting on air, though.
I don't know that. I'm saying.
That's what I'm thinking.
But then they put landfill on TV, and he used the force to remove himself. It was pretty impressive, landfill. I feel like.
I hope they put a camera right in his face.
I feel like it's like Matt Orlando over at the Monumental offices just messing with us. I feel like it's one of those engineers we know just screwing around. I want to go to the aquarium on this because we haven't talked to you boys yet. I'll start with Jeff, who generally is upbeat and quite an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
You think Davey should get canned?
Sound effects. I'm on the fence about it because I get what he said, but I also know it's a time and place. Now, if he truly lost the clubhouse, yeah, he got to go because I had a coach that I didn't want to play for before, and I could tell you everything that he said, the team did the complete opposite because everything he was telling us was wrong. And even though we were – see, I'm going to keep it 100. I went to a high school that was small, and we got, like, football-wise and stuff, we got punished sometimes. We only had, like, 16 people on the team.
You had 16 people on your high school football team?
Yo, our whole school could fit in one gymnasium on one side – in our gymnasium.
Fairmont Heights?
Side. Yeah.
Shout out to the Pirates?
Fairmont – no, the Hornets. Don't ever disrespect us like that.
Well, I had no idea.
I will summon the whole Fairmont Heights Alumni Association.
Well, y'all, there's like 22
people.
Who cares?
But now
they only got three people on a basketball team.
No, our basketball team was always full. But the thing is, like B said, some players that will rub them wrong. We were kids and that rubbed us wrong. So I can only imagine someone who's actually being paid to play how they are feeling. When they're coach, because the coach is a part of the team, and you're just throwing us under the bus. If you're throwing us under the bus, you're subliminally throwing yourself under the bus as well. So, I don't know if he lost the team. Yes, but because some players not soft, you know, some players be like, "Hey, yo, coach, right? We are out here pooping the bed right now. We need to get it together." Now, if that's the conversation. In the locker room, keep him. But if that's not, if it's worse than what it is, he got to go.
Landfill, did you want to paraphrase that?
Not on air.
Yo, I feel like one day the text thread is going to just get so incriminating. Anyway.
Bro, I tell you like I said, you notice I don't comment a lot. I know I'm going to say cool. Thumbs up
or okay.
Listen, I've said it before. If that thing ever go public, we are in trouble.
I mean, the three
you
texts.
Know, you know what I do too? I erase it. Every 2 to 3 days, I erase the whole damn thing.
The three texts I had before Landfill's last one weren't great either. Landini, you want him to fire Davey?
I think at some point you have to. It just gets to a point where it's kind of difficult. You get to a point where, like, the players are just kind of tired of hearing the same thing from the guy all the time. He clearly doesn't have any kind of, special. He's not going to do anything to make the team better. I mean, realistically, if we're talking about it, if he had that, he would have done it already. If he knew the way to get the team motivated to stop getting their asses kicked on a nightly basis, he'd have pulled that one. I think that sometimes you just got to make a change for the sake of making a change.
Yep.
I agree. Like, I don't think if you fire Davey and you promote whoever, Miguel Cairo, like, I don't think all of a sudden Vegas has to adjust the win total. You know what I mean? Like,
hello.
White Brian, you're a Mets fan. What do you want the Nats to do?
Keep him.
I think he wants to be fired.
Really?
I mean, we talk about him maybe misspeaking on these comments. What if he just the team's not giving him any money? His team stinks. He probably just wants to leave and make whatever he has left on his deal.
That's interesting. That's a new episode. I hadn't thought of that. I tell you what, I think he misspoke once, and he's a grinder and doesn't want to go anywhere. But if there's another comment similar to what the, you know, it's never the coaching that kind of caused.
He says that again, then you know what? I'm completely off. I'm completely off trying to help him. And then my thing is, I'm just saying, like, I'm telling you, it's not just him. When he goes there again, then I can't help you, dog. I can't try to help you. Because if you go there again, you truly believe that crap. If you don't ever do it again, people can live with, oh, that was a, he just misspoke. But you can't say it's never the coaches.
Right.
The hell make you think you're invincible? You're perfect?
Ooh. Speaking of perfect, guess who just walked in?
The Rooster.
The one and only Chris Russell, the Rooster. I'm actually curious Rooster's take on this. Like for me, if we were doing Blame Pie, and there's this person or website or... Who would you blame? I think it's kind of an interesting discussion. So this person, Talk Nats, has been responding to my tweets a lot lately, and I think Talk Nats is a valuable voice in kind of like the Nats fan discourse. And Talk Nats has determined that I'm a learner blamer, but there's more than that blame to go around. And I know that it's become a talking point that...
Well, ask Talk Nats, does he think the learners deserve any blame?
If he doesn't, then he's one of the learners. Yeah. I still go 60-70% of the blame is on the learners. Now, I get that they haven't drafted well, and they're getting some of these young studs coming up, but a lot of those were acquired via trades. You got to draft better. That lands on Riz. I don't know that Davey is igniting the flames like he should be. But the players got to carry. I mean, I guess I go 70, 10, 10, 10. Okay. 70 learners, 10 Riz, 10 Davey, 10 on the players.
Banfield owns the restaurant. You're the GM. I'm the chef. He gives you no money. You buy BS food. What the hell do you think I'm going to make? You think I'm going to make
chicken, I hear you.
Chicken whatever out of chicken other stuff?
Right.
You know.
What's your blame pie?
I go with the ownership first because they're not paying to get the top-notch players and they're not keeping top-notch players here. Then I'll go with Rizzo. He drafts, don't he?
Yeah.
Then I'll go with Davey.
I think the players,
Davey,
too.
The players follow Davey. But the players that you give him is what he got to work with. And if you're not drafting well, you're not giving him top-notch what the hell is he going to do competing against all these better teams out there?
Sure. To me, it's ownership, and it's ownership by a significant margin, but that doesn't mean other people aren't included. I guess we have to reach out to his PR people, but we're going to see if we can get Chris Russell's Nats Blame Pie next. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.